Good afternoon, everybody. I'm searching everywhere to find some things from 1940s. And one of the things I found, Jeff, from the 1940s. Yes, that's right. He's getting ready to celebrate his 73rd birthday. But WCRS last week turned 75 years old. And today we're going to be talking about some of the things from back then. In fact, how you doing today, Jeff?
Doing real well, until you mentioned that.
Well, he's also wanted to make sure that that some sweet treats come his way. We're going to be celebrating. His actual birthday is on Monday, the 12th, but we're celebrating Friday and into Saturday here on WCRS. So, first off, some of the things that can be found in the home that were popular back then. Jeff grew up with these items. I, on the other hand, have no idea about any of these items. But one of the items I am rather familiar with is this Coca-Cola bottle popper here. What can you tell us about that, the vintager Jeff Eller?
Well, the thing that makes it neat is, number one, that they sell for about $10 if they're in good shape. And there's not been a farm building, back porch, or outshed that was in the 40s, 50s, 60s that didn't have one of these for when you're out there taking a cool drink during the summer and you need a place to open up your bottle. This was always right there on the garage wall, on the shop wall, or on the porch stud. It just was something, it was ubiquitous. You didn't notice it. It was there. But nowadays, we have people that go out and are tearing down homes around Simpsonville and Pelham Road and that area, some of the older farmhouses, and they come in with a half a dozen of these just from one salvage operation.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're popular. If you have one of those, they sell for about
$10. Yeah, you walk by it every day. We get about $10 for them, cleaned up and presentable. We buy them for $5.
There you go. So if you've got any of those, you can always bring them to Sharp Facets Gallery right here on the 72 bypass. We've got a lot of other items that we're going to talk about today. We've got an old radio from, 1941?
We got the 1941 Philco. It was actually a RCA model, but Philco put their name to it because they did the design and integral work for it, and RCA actually manufactured it.
Wow. So that's another cool piece, and we're going to be talking about all the pieces here on the table this afternoon. Emerald is uploading some videos, so if you miss a section, I hope you check out the videos on our Facebook page, WCRS.AM Radio. So we're going to do that. Hey, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, we'll talk about that radio. We've got an old iron, a steam iron. We've got a percolator coffee pot there, and some whole pottery and some other pieces. So stay tuned right here on WCRS. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're back here, and yes, this is WCRS 98.5 FM. You know, we've got a Philco radio that Jeff's going to tell us about right here. But as I was looking at the radio, Jeff, I don't see the FM dial on here. What's the deal?
There wasn't any FM transmissions in 1941. That didn't really hit until the 1960s. And didn't really grab until they started putting FM in all the car radios, which was in the early 70s.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, so, you know, when we talk AM, and we talk 1450 AM from 1941 is when WCRS originally started, we're really talking about the technology that was fabulous for then, and FM didn't even come about till the late 60s. And so tell us about this Philco radio. God, it's got a beautiful...
Well, let me read you the description on it from 1941. This is a catalog from 1941. And this refreshing new design cabinet was selected as the prize winner by the New York World's Fair in 1940. It's the Gold Seal Jury of Awards, America at Home. It's big continental style, and it's a mahogany cabinet with plastic dial and plastic
buttons
and plastic knobs, and that was a big deal for them to be plastic.
Right, I understand.
It's a permanent magnet speaker standard broadcast. And quite frankly, that carried a police band.
Okay.
It had shortwave.
Okay.
It had international. And, of course, it had your regular AM tuning.
Wow.
One of the interesting things one time was that we were providing materials for a movie set.
Yes.
And it was a set in the 1940s, and they were looking for radios period of time. And they wanted to buy them and not lease them from us. And I give the guy a price. I think it was $300 on this radio. He told me that he could buy have a shell made and buy it that way and buy it much cheaper. About 6 weeks later, he comes back. He wants to know how much he could lease them for. And I said, well, how much did the woodworker ask you for building a cabinet just like this one? It was close to $800.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, these were fine pieces of furniture back then.
This
yeah.
was especially fine.
I mean,
this
look at the detail.
You can't get any more Art Deco modern type of design than this. This just screams Art Deco.
Yeah, and does that one work?
Oh, yeah.
It works. It's
used it on a couple of your plays that you did.
The old-time radio.
Yep. On the old-time radio plays, yes.
Yes, we sure did. So that's pretty neat. Now, the very fact that FM was not part of this just makes it even cooler from the standpoint. And this WCRS actually started September 1st, 1941. So that makes it 75 years old. We're going to be celebrating its WCRS's birthday this coming Friday and Saturday. We would love to have some pictures of people that worked at WCRS, won prizes, maybe at a remote gatherings where WCRS was their banner or something was in there. Maybe the parades. We've already got some pictures from the parades. So if you can provide any of that or any stories, we'd love to have some of that. All of you have been commenting on WCRS.AM radio about that you worked there and this type of thing, or you knew somebody that worked there. See if you can dig up some pictures. If you can bring them by right here to Sharp Facets Gallery, we will scan them in, and then we'll give you the pictures right back. If you've got an article from the newspaper, drop that by. We can scan it right while you're here, and then you can take it back with you. But we're looking for memories of the way things were. That's right, right here on WCRS. I'm Ann Eller. I'm here with my ever-loving. His 73rd birthday is coming up on Monday, and we've decided to add Jeff's birthday to the whole combination here. So it's 75 for WCRS, 73 for you, Jeff Eller, and we're going to be having a good time. So Friday afternoon, meet me at the diner. We're going to be doing some special stuff. Hope you'll stop by and tune in and see what we're doing. That's what we're going to be right here. Now, have you got another little item that we can talk about before?
No, I want to just finish up the radio thing.
Okay.
When WCRS started, one of the things that they did was sell radios.
Yeah, they did. And
they sold radios, and I was looking at the numbers that somebody kept in a ledger over there. They sold over 1,000 radios the first year they were open.
How about that?
Well, Greenwood didn't have but 5 or 6,000 people in it, and the county was a small county.
Well, you know, radio, and when radio started in 1941, this was a huge deal that in Greenwood, South Carolina, we had our own radio station.
Right. And it still is a huge deal when you think about it.
Sure.
Now, the other stuff, let's just take the coffee pot over there.
Okay. Here's the coffee pot. Yes.
It's shaped like a rocket ship, an old-fashioned rocket ship, like one like you would have drawn on your notebook in high school or grade school when you were talking about rockets.
Blasting off here.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
And that won a design award in 1940.
Wow. I had no idea.
It was not inexpensive then. It's kind of like the radio. The radio was about $30 in 1941. That's 2 weeks' pay almost.
So do they have value today?
The radio, as is, this one would bring about $300.
Wow.
The coffee pot there, we refurbish them. Refurbished as a coffee pot to where you can all plug it in and brew your cups of coffee. We're talking that it's about $30.
Wow, $30.
I mean, you can't put a lot of money in them because you're not going to get a lot of money out.
Right.
But then again, if you're doing a mid-century modern kitchen, you can't do without your percolator.
That's right. And that's what you used to do. It percolated.
It percolated.
And God, it smelled good, didn't it?
And it smelled good. And the other thing about it is there's been nothing invented that brings the flavor out the way a percolated cup of coffee tastes.
And it had the, look, this one has everything with it right here. Yep.
All the guts are in it.
Yep. So we could actually, and this one actually works, folks.
Does work.
Yep. So
it's been hooked up. It works quite well.
Yeah. So if you're in the market for a coffee pot, I don't know whether I'll sell it or not, but I really like this stuff. So it's pretty
cool
to have.
As a decor item, it's one of the top three for mid-century modern kitchens decor.
Wow.
You know what number one is?
No.
Bread boxes.
Bread boxes. How about that? I had no idea. Hey, I tell you what, we are almost at 4:30 here, so it's going to be time for South Carolina radio news. What else are we going to be talking about, Jeff, here this afternoon?
Well, we'll go over home appliances again, more the Mixmaster. Then we're going to go with a little catchy type items, the salt and peppers and things like that that would adorn the tables in the 1940s and 1950s.
Wow, that sounds great. Well, Gracie is excited, as you can tell. She always loves it when her dad's on the radio. So why don't you stay right tuned here with us? And, yes, I'm Ann Eller. We'll be back. We're doing a celebration week for WCRS, 1450 AM and 98.5, right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Don't you go away. We'll be back after the news.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, WCRS, with the Vintager, my very special guest, my one and only Jeff. That's right, my husband, Jeff Eller. Wonderful Jeff Eller telling us about all the different things that we have right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. A really cool, interesting item that Emerald is photographing to upload to you right now are these cool little scarecrow salt and pepper shakers. That's right. They are so cool. Jeff, why did you pick those out?
Well, number one, it came from a place that became a southern icon when people used to take 301 from up north to Florida. It was called South of the Border.
South of the Border. There you
These go. Things were a little items for trip memory type things. They were low cost, very low cost. Not particularly well made, but the colors were great.
Yes, they are.
And they matched the decor of the kitchens because the white refrigerators were becoming pastels. And one of the things that people wonder about is why the big color change, did people become more color attuned or anything else? No, the manufacturers during World War II didn't have access to dye for the light, for the dark colors, black, greens, and browns were used.
Like military stuff.
Oh, you got it. I didn't even say it. But yeah, one of the prime examples of the advertising campaign was Lucky Strike cigarettes.
Right.
Were Lucky Strike green. You asked for a pack of Lucky Strikes. They were Lucky Strike green. And then in 1942, their whole advertising gig was Lucky Strike green goes to war. And it became a red, white, and blue cigarette package.
How about that? Yeah. So the lighter colors were easier for them to get.
Right.
Okay. So would that explain why things like the blue cocktail shaker here became popular?
The cocktail shaker is a carryover. That's a 1947 model.
Yes.
My vision of what color it is different than probably yours, but it is a prime example of what cars were going to. What kitchens were being done in, and this is one of the prime reasons.
And then there was a revival in this.
Right.
Yes, there was a revival of this color, the popularity of this blue color. Okay, so we've got now, just for the record, how much do these little scarecrow salt and pepper shakers sell for today?
There's a website that specializes in mid-century modern that sells those for about $45.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, we sold them for about $10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about a little difference in the price.
Well, we're not mid-century modern focused.
There you go. But they would be real cute, particularly coming up with Halloween and everything. They would be great, wouldn't they? Yeah. Those are excellent. So
we had at one time another set that came from that, and somebody thought it was the Pilgrims, and remember? And it was actually Pedro and wife from south of the border, salt and pepper shakers, because they had the little funny hat.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
All right. Now, the interesting thing about this set of salt and pepper shakers is this was pre-war.
Pre-war. So this what, 19...
38, 39.
Yeah. And this is what, USA?
Yeah.
Pottery? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And what does that say on it right there? It says salt. It doesn't say salt. Okay. And this one says pepper.
Yeah.
Pepper. Okay. Now, it's interesting, the shape of them, though, isn't it?
Right. And the shape there was supposed to be smooth form. Geometric patterns were the rage of the time. And still are, as far as that goes. Smooth angles, but it was supposed to be something that was distinctive and would fit with the decor of the kitchens of that day.
Wow. And they were very big and heavy. I mean, you know, this is a salt and pepper shaker.
You got to remember that you're only a few years away from people using open salts with little spoons.
Well, they went a long way. Now, and the shape is very interesting, too. What is the
shape of the idea is you couldn't turn it over.
Well, that's for sure.
It was child-friendly.
Child-friendly.
It was one of the first of the items to become child-friendly.
Okay. And you could really grab a hold and really pour a lot of salt on whatever you were doing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're working off of high blood pressure.
There you go. All right. Well, there's another item that we have here. We've got some more things. Now, you wanted to comment on the blues again, commenting on the blues with this nifty piece. Maybe we talk about that, and then we'll
okay.
take a break.
This iron was made by Coleman Lantern.
Coleman Lantern?
Yes. They had a heater back here that fired a small boiler. This was a steam iron.
Wow. Very cool.
Not electrical.
No electric to it.
Right.
Yep. Okay. And I guess what'd you do? Use this to start it up or whatever to get it heated
up? You pumped
up?
It just the way you pump a ladder. Excuse me.
Okay. All right. So you had this. But again, the colors are very interesting, and that's part of what dates it, too, isn't it?
I have one here that was pre-war, mm-hmm. and it was a dark green.
Wow.
This was wartime.
And it's bright blue.
Right.
Which would you prefer? Bright blue, I think. Me, personally.
Oh, I do too. But, I mean, it reflects the times.
But
nothing ever happens in a vacuum.
But this thing is so heavy.
That thing was used up through the 50s in laundries.
In laundries. So this wasn't for the home?
Oh, yeah, that was for the home. But, I mean, even after things became totally electrified,
yes.
laundries around used that.
And the other thing that's interesting, it's pointed on both ends.
Right.
You know, so it didn't matter. You could go forward or backwards, and it was still get the
well, actually, they made different types to use for different processes. That one was actually designed for shirts.
For shirts. Okay. Yeah, I mean, the laundries had them all different sizes. That was very
right.
interesting. And
right.
the different, and they just kept replacing them and heating them back up. Isn't that right?
That is true.
Okay. Well, see.
And it was a lot cheaper to use the kerosene,
mm-hmm.
Lantern-type kerosene
in
those
here.
Than it was to electrify them.
Wow. How about that, folks?
And those got much hotter than any electric irons ever made.
So you could burn things better.
Oh, absolutely.
Ah, there you go. Hey, I hope you're enjoying the show. If you've got a comment, and Emeril's going to keep posting stuff on Facebook, WCRS.AM Radio. Check it out there. You'll be able to see the items that we're talking about. This iron right here, just real quick, what kind of price today? What kind of price when it was sold originally?
Okay. Actually, we sell most of those, so outfits like Cracker Barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And they use them for decor, but it could be fired up and used. And they only bring about $100.
About $100. And if you use this, you would be building your muscles while you're doing this. That's right. It's pretty heavy. I don't see how they did it.
Well, there weren't very many heavy people. They worked hard those days.
I guess so. Hey, you're listening to WCRS this afternoon. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon having a fun episode with the Vintager. That's right. Jeff Eller is the Vintager. He's been that for years. You know, one thing about Jeff, he thoroughly enjoys history. And because he enjoys history, he has been able to learn about so many different items. And we have for years and years and years bought catalogs about all the different items. Look like this one right here, the May and Malone Red Book from 1941. And we have hundreds of these catalogs. And why did you buy the catalogs, Jeff?
Well, we were doing research for auction companies, and I got tired of people insisting that something was 100 years old when it was 40.
Okay.
Or 50 years or 60 years, it wasn't 200, and, you know, that furniture was custom made back in the 1870s when you could flip open the Sears Roebuck catalog and there it was in the 1920s.
Right.
Yeah. And it just become easier. Then when people found out that I was buying the catalogs and actually paying for them, people started sending them to us.
Yeah. Well, they really are fascinating, and probably some of your best sources is the Sears catalog.
Sears catalog starts it all.
Yeah. And let's see, what's the other? Oh, Montgomery Ward.
Montgomery Ward and JCPenney.
There you go.
Those three catalogs, they bracket things, and they pretty much started it all.
And of course, there's specific catalogs, there's jewelry catalogs, there's all different kind of catalogs, but it's so fascinating to read the old catalogs. And sometimes you find that the prices, if you convert them in today's dollars, were actually more expensive than what we actually pay today.
Well, let's take this radio. This radio equivocates to $800 today.
We'd never pay $800 for a radio.
No.
No.
But it was new technology then.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we'd pay that for an iPhone maybe, but we wouldn't pay that for a radio because it was new technology then, just like the iPhone is new technology today. Okay, and Gracie is excited here this afternoon. Oh, Gracie, please be good. All right.
All right.
So what are we going to talk about now, Jeff?
We're going to talk about the mixer.
Yes. This is a modern invention.
A modern invention when electricity started becoming apparent in people's homes, not just businesses.
Yes,
yeah, well, a little humor here.
Yeah.
When electricity became in the majority of homes, not just a few of them.
Right.
One of the first things they had were smaller motors. And a motor does one thing very well, and that's rotate.
Right.
And if it rotates, that means that you can put utensils on it. The first one, the very first things that came out was an electric fan.
And that was an easy one, actually.
That was an easy adaptation.
Right.
And then anything that you could put on that spun.
Right.
A mixer.
Ah. And this one that you have right here is pretty interesting. Now, this one, I believe, even works, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I actually hooked it up from time to time.
Yes. But and it's black and stainless. So what does that mean? We've been learning today that color is a very important part of when it was made.
Well, starting 1942, it was that bluish color.
Okay. So you didn't get black because that was
wartime. You didn't get
black,
but that was wartime. And 42 on until the late 60s, there was that bluish green, even they had some pastels in there, other colors, but they never really went back to black until the 1990s.
You know, that's very interesting when you think about it, the harvest gold color.
Yes.
That was so popular.
Right.
And what about shag carpeting?
Oh, my God.
I'll think about that, folks. Are you moving back in time and thinking about some of these things?
Well, when you go all the way back, well, I mean, Fred Waring came up with a little blender type of thing back in the 40s because he was tired of his band playing over the top of a bartender crushing ice with a hammer.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. Look at the stuff that you can learn right here. And it's all because Jeff is such a history nut, and that's why we call him the Vintager. Because he loves vintage things and he loves knowing about it and the history that makes a difference from now through the future and the things that we've learned about. So this was a mixer. Now, this one is pretty neat. This one even tells you what the measures are on the top of it. 2 cups of sugar equals 1 pound. 4 tablespoons equals 1/4 cup. And this was by Camfield. Out of Chicago, I guess, yes?
Right. They put their own company name on it. It's actually a Sunbeam mixer.
Okay.
But they put their own name on it.
How about that? So yeah. Cool. And then what does it have for mashed potatoes and stuff like that?
It's
it
got tells all the you how long, what settings that you should use so you don't over... You, mashed potatoes, people don't realize that you can make them into a puree if you overdo it with a mixmaster.
Oh, okay. So anyways, that's another piece that's really interesting. You can date it by its color.
Right.
And, of course, by some of the other things. Now, how much would that have sold back in the day?
That sold for $16.
$16.
1 week's pay.
Okay. And does it have a value today?
As a collector value, not near as much as what you would think, about $30.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But still,
yes,
we buy them for about 20.
Right.
We sell them for about 30.
Yeah.
And they go mostly for decor now.
Sure. Well, I mean.
But they can be used.
Yes. So there you go. If you've got one of these, God bless you and keep on using it. There you go.
Well, one of the things that also come out of, remember Stanley Firmuses?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it used to be. When I was in high school, everybody had a Stanley Firmus that they brought to school.
Those heavy, clunky things.
Heavy, clunky things.
There you go.
They came out of World War II because they put them in the bombers for the flight crews to take on these long-distance bombing runs.
Right.
And they developed them down to the point where those things, you could throw them against a brick wall and just pick it up, it was still fine.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, so we've talked about thermoses, we've talked about mixers, we've talked about irons. These are all things that are right from the time frame that WCRS, 75 years old this year, was part of, and that's the way the homes were. Many of you may have some of these things in the attic and didn't realize they really had any value at all.
Well, one of the things, look in the garage of Grandma's house and see if there's a bread box, the aluminum bread box that came about, the polished metal aluminum bread box, the polished metal toasters, all came after World War II when all the bombers came home and there was a glut of aluminum, and they could manufacture it cheaply because all they were doing is recycling. And so they could use it for things like a bread box. They could use it for a toaster or whatever. All those things have become collectible for those that like the mid-century modern.
There you go. And that's it's very popular now.
Very popular.
Yeah.
I don't think we have a bread box on hand right now.
No, we sure don't. We sure don't. Well, we had one more item to talk about. Did you want to talk about the whole pottery a little
bit?
Sure. Okay. That whole pottery vase. Thank you, Vanna. It's a lovely piece. Wonderful condition. The colors, again, kind of give away from what you're saying here this afternoon.
Well, the colors were leaking in the 30s, really kicked in the 40s for that. And by the 50s and 60s, that were the rigueur for color. Hull was somebody that made a cheap product for cost, but it transcended what it was originally set out to be. It was originally just something that people delivered flowers in, literally. Florists had them on hand for deliver flowers.
Nice pieces of pottery like this. And
nice
today,
pieces of pottery.
Today we get them in a little glass vase if we're lucky, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Those were quite nice. They were inexpensive. They were five and dime type of cost. Now, I've seen pieces sell for up to
$400. Up to $400.
Right.
Right.
Most of them are under 20. But
right.
There are select pieces, especially to collectors, that are $400 and plus.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we're almost out of time, but one of the things that I thought we should probably maybe talk about just for a second, you know, you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. You can hear us on that great AM dial, 1450 AM. You can hear us on the FM dial, 98.5. And you can hear us on the smartphone with those WCRS 1450 AM app that's free. But here's the thing, Jeff. I wanted you to be able to tell people how prices went way up, and now a lot of the prices have come way down.
Well, prices went up almost every year from 1950 through 2006, and then 2009 happened. And everything from Barbies to Ladro to Hull to Roseville to any collectibles just about took a tremendous nosedive. When you have 10.5 million repossession foreclosures, there's nothing that people don't sell to save a house.
Absolutely. So that explains the difference in the prices, how things change. We are right here at Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon. Jeff Eller, it has been an absolute delight to have you with me this afternoon on the radio talking about vintage items and looking back on what things were like in the 1940s and the 1950s when WCRS was the radio station right here in Greenwood and when you were young, Jeff. Sorry, folks, I had to do it. Hey, this is WCRS. Gracie has been having quite a time here this afternoon. That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.